Blog Talk Radio.
Naked Shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Iggy Garcia Live. I'm Iggy Garcia, the guy with the panda hat. Take this off because that will distract me. Jan, how are you? Good to see you. I'm broadcasting live on With Insights Radio. I'm also broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. These feeds will go up, and they will be on Spreaker. It will be on iTunes as well, so you can catch me there if you miss this show. Hello, Rebecca. How are you? Good to see you. And everybody else who I've missed along the line there. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Just kind of connecting here with everybody. It's been a while since I've been on here. I always say that, I think. So it's been a while. It just seems like I've been gone too long. Recovering from, loss, grief, and family, and still working through that, processing through that. Doing the best I can with the tools that I have and the things that I've learned and the processing that I choose to use, I guess, basically. But I'm doing pretty good. And for those of you who ask me from time to time how things are going, it's a process. It's a slow process, but it's a process. And either way, I just want to let you guys know that it's one of those things that just happens progressively over time where we, get to that place where we need to be. And feel stable in how we feel. And from everybody that I've spoken to, they pretty much told me that, when they lose family members, it doesn't really go away. It just changes in a different way. You never really forget that person. Their love for them is really powerful regardless. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm at like early stages, of that grieving process. And I feel like I'm doing fairly good with it, and I know my mom's in a better place. So I want to give a shout out to her because I know she's doing good. She's one of my inspirations. She's one of the reasons I do the things that I do. My dad is also an inspiration to me. He also encouraged me. But moms are probably number one inspire people who inspire, instill beliefs in somebody. But I also know that if you didn't have a good mother and she didn't give you good inspiration, then there's probably a struggle there, trying to find out and know things. But Robin, how are you? Good to see you. Diane, how are you? Cindy, good to see everybody. Sorry you missed the drumming too. Yes, we did have a drumming yesterday at Whetstone Park down by the catching pond. It was a nice group. I'm not quite sure how many people were there. I'd have to say probably 50, 60 people maybe. Throughout the thing. But it was nice. It was nice just to kind of kick off spring. It was Earth Day. We remember Mother Earth. We give thanks to her and honoring her in the space that she's allowing us to stay on and be at. So I'm pretty grateful for that. I'm happy for that, that she opens her arms for us and doing good. Misty, how are you? I like to say hi to everybody. So if I say hi, hi, everybody. And together we are better. This is a shirt that I have from a project that I did. With early child learning community. There are development groups that help kids in the early stages of their development. So we did drumming with them last year, which is a lot of fun. All right, so hopefully everybody's doing pretty well. I hope you all had a good weekend. Those of you who I hung out with this weekend, it's always a blast to be with you. Always fun to share time with you and those moments with you. And, it's nice to be around like-minded people, people who want to enjoy themselves and be there and do things and be part of things and explore things. I know there's a lot of, there's a lot of things going on around Columbus, which is cool. If you've never been to one of our drum circles or one of our, sound gatherings where you actually do, gongs and singing bowls and stuff, you're in for a treat. It's really powerful stuff, very powerful medicine, very powerful and amazing things that happen there. and the energies that people bring and the amazing work that is done there and the healing that's done there is so powerful. And, you know, these are things that we do and we organize the group that I'm with, you know, from ourselves. We don't necessarily charge anybody. So this is an opportunity for the general public, practitioner, everybody to come over there in that moment, just release and let go of things that are in their in their bodies, in their minds, in their spirits. Excuse me. But that's what we do. That's how we give back to the community. We give back by, you know, sharing. Sharing is one of those cool things, you know, when you do it, when you're doing it with somebody else and you're having fun. Like my friend Rebecca here, who's online, she shared her gifts, you know, at my going away party for my daughter and her son-in-law and her children. And I'm grateful for that. You know, that's something that just reciprocates back to you. You know, when you give enough, people give back to you. So that's one of those inspiring moments in my life when people are helping one another. And I really, really, truly appreciate that. So for those of you who have any questions online and anything that you need me to address, you know, just feel free to, you know, just type in and share. But today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about us, you know, you, me, everybody, ourselves, and, you know, inspiring self. That's the topic of the story that we're going to be talking about. And there's a lot of things that we could draw inspiration from. But a lot of us, our first person who gave us inspiration is the person who probably raised us, someone who birthed us. And that's not always the case later in life. But generally, I'm going to generalize here. Generally, moms are very loving of their children, and they love them. And I know there's some extreme cases, you know, but we don't want to go. That's not where I want to go with that. I want to go with the positive outlook and the place where you can, you know, resonate and draw inspiration from. And that's our moms. Our moms are people who encourage us. Even, you know, when we're in the most untalented or talented person, moms are always encouraging us. And those of us who are lucky enough and fortunate enough to still have our mothers, you know, sometimes we take people for granted. I don't want to say I took my mom for granted, but there's a part of me that probably did, just thinking that she'd always be there. And that's in the capacity that I may have taken advantage of her inspiring gifts, her loving moments, just thinking that, you know, I was never going to lose her. And, you know, and I lost her, but she's an inspiration to me. You know, my mom is, still inspires me. She still drives me to do better. And she's one of the biggest worry warts that I ever knew in my life. You know, she's always wanted to know what I was doing. So what are you doing? That's what she would say. She'd say it like that. So what are you doing? Not with a deep voice like mine, but she'd say, so what are you doing? And I'd be like, well, what do you mean? Of course, you know, she's like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, I know what you're saying. She goes, you got enough money? You make enough money? You got enough work? Because she knew that the work that I do is sometimes, you know, we have cold days and we have busy days. And so it's not like being in the restaurant where I grew up, where we're constantly, there was influx of business coming in. And I stepped away from that life. And for her, it made her really nervous for me to step into the work that I do today, because she wanted to make sure that I had, you know, enough to take care of myself, take care of my family, or take care of whoever I wanted to take care of. I was her firstborn child. So for her, I was her crazy love child. That's what she always told me. So it's el hijo de los locos amores. You know, you're my love child between my dad, your dad and I, you know, you're our first baby. So, and, you know, I was her biggest pain too, you know, her biggest, you know, struggle. But, she's the person who taught me how to dream. She's the person who, when she didn't have her dreams and she didn't fulfill her dreams, she still instilled me to do what I wanted to do. She pushed me to do the things I needed to do. You know, when I was the smallest guy, she says, well, you could get into places that other people can't get into. You know, so there was no excuse for her to, you know, I couldn't give her an excuse. I couldn't say to her, well, Mom, you know, because, yeah, she'd be in the pity party with me for a little bit. And then she's like, she'd get like this. Just like that. She'd look at me like, whatever. See, I live with your dad. So and I thought that was pretty funny, pretty comical when she'd say stuff like that. But, you know, she always pushed me to do. And even when she didn't speak English very well, when she was trying to teach me English, she tried. You know, we'd sit down and do the homework, and she'd push me, and she would inspire me to just do better. And, you know, and I have to say I've done better. I'm in a better place because, you know, her push to strive for more. She was very loyal to her husband, and her loyalty spewed over to me because it was like my love flowed through my mom to my dad, you know, and so it wasn't like I was my mama's boy. She didn't believe in that. She's like, no. She goes, I'm a woman. This is where she's from. She's just old school Latina woman. Your dad, she goes, it's your father. You respect your father. You respect your father, you respect me. You respect me, you respect your father. You don't respect me, you respect your father. It was just that way. That's just how I was raised, and that's just how it was. And, you know, I would go visit my mom. As later she got in the older years, she would call. I'd go in and visit her, and she'd go, oh, how you doing? Good. Did you call your dad? I'm like, no, I'm here to visit you, Mom. I told one of my friends this the other day, and she goes, I came to see you. I see my dad all the time. I see Papi Gino all the time. And she's like, no, call your dad. Let him know you're here. He's wondering if you were going to come, if you were going to be here. That was just her life. She just wanted to make sure that the men in her family, you know, stay connected. You know, she knows how important it was for a man to have a male role model because that was just something that was instilled in her, you know, her, all her life. Is it true for everybody? Maybe not. Not everybody has a male role model. Some people don't have a female role model either. But we do our best. And this is my story that I'm sharing with you because I thought it would be important to get into the topic that we're talking about inspiration, that intuition inside of us. What inspires you? What causes you to be inspired? Is it things? Is it people? Is it life? You know, life is very difficult. Life, you know, you constantly are challenged to come up with these amazing, you know, formulas to work out in life. And sometimes they don't always work out how you want them, you know. And then you always have to tweak them and readjust them and all kinds of stuff. I don't know how many times I've had to tweak, you know, little things in my life just to try to make things fit and work. But, you know, life is about creating the inspiration inside of us. And, you know, you may sit here and go, Iggy, I'm not inspired. Nothing inspires me. But your inspiration, that what you create and what you put together in your life, it floods out to the world. It really does. And it doesn't matter if you're in a positive light or a negative light. It floods out regardless of what you do. No matter what you say, no matter how you behave, it affects the people closest to you, the people around you, the people right next to you. Now, the thing is, when you're not inspired, you're not inspired. But you have inspirational moments. You have moments where you just wake up and you could sing songs that you haven't sung for years. And that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm trying to get at. That you don't have to be inspired constantly. Inspiration of self is something that happens within moments. Okay, and these moments we walk into and we share with people. We come up with grandiose ideas and these things that we want to do. And, you know, sometimes we are the people who lay the seeds. We sow them into the ground. Then somebody else comes by and, you know, waters it, tends to the garden, keeps, you know, keeps the weeds out. But we set the first intention. We set the first intention. And that's the first inspiration that we do. You know, and being in that vessel, that clear vessel, being ourselves, being open to allow that energy to flow through us. And, you know, like I've said in many other shows, how many times have you been watching TV and all of a sudden you see something on TV and you go, dude, that's my idea. That was something I thought, yeah, yes, it is. It probably was. You and probably a million other people. That's how it is. There's nothing new under the sun. That's just an old proverb. That's something that you've probably heard 1,000 times. There's nothing new under the sun. Because every time we're creating, constantly creating, constantly creating, constantly creating, we're manifesting. Manifestation is not, you know, a collection of things. Manifestation is actually things that we put together in the entire universe. We're a piece and we're a part of that puzzle. Each part of us is sharing something to the universe. Each part of us is experiencing something that we share. This radio show, for example, It may not touch a million people, but it might touch one person, two people, five people. But that one person can go out and they go say, hey, you know, I got inspired. Iggy said something today. He goes, together we are better. You know, that's all he said. You know, I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good statement, you know. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, Rebecca, you mentioned that, you know, inspiration comes from God. Yeah, but we're also a piece and part of God. We're part of God's creation. So that inspiration is within us. That inspiration is inside of us. And then if we want more tapped, we want to be more in tune with it, you know, in tune with our inspiration, then we reach out, you know, but there is no out there. It's all here in what we see and we manifest and how we are endowed with special gifts and beliefs. The thing is, a lot of us don't believe that we're endowed with special gifts and beliefs, but we are. We are absolutely endowed. The question is, how do we untap that? How do we open up that faucet? How do we say, I'm going to do this and go that way? Well, first of all, we have to get through ourselves. The biggest thing that we run into is us. We are our biggest obstacle. For a most majority of us, we are, at some level or not. I know that I'm my biggest obstacle. I play scenarios out of my head like I was playing basketball. You know, I scored 122 points. That's 122 scenarios the way I was going to play something out. But, you know, I have a good friend who told me, you know, sometimes you just have to step out. And you know what? And you may fall flat on your face. And when you fall flat on your face, the only other place you can go is up. You have to pick yourself up. And you know what? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be frustrating. And it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be all of the above. And you know that little by little, I take those steps each day to get where I need to be. And I know that all of you do that. Now, our first teachers are our parents, the people who were before us. So you can imagine all the people before you who have come before you. Okay? This is where you're getting all your learning, all right? This is where you're learning from. This is where your foundation comes from. This is where you are getting the majority of the stuff you have in your filing cabinet is right in here. Is here. It's from mom and dad. And most of our mom and dads, you know, have childlike behavior. They still do things just like you do. They messed up, they screwed up and everything. And they're getting it from their parents, which were your grandparents, and then their great grandparents. And this information is being passed down seven generations deep. Okay? But along the line, things get changed. There's a little bit here, a little bit there, and a little bit more this way. But then sometimes some things stay the same. But I'm a true, firm believer, true firm believer, that you can change those stories. You can change in that inspiration of self, that you can completely dictate it and change it how you feel it needs to. You can heal generational wounds. Just you, in this generation today, you can create that inspiration. You can make that happen. And the thing is, you have to work at it. Like anything, you have to work at it. But step by step, little by little, if you change the behavior of the things that you saw before you that you're not in congruence with, and it doesn't resonate with you, you're going to change it. And it heals. There's multitudes of ways to do it. You can do it through writing, you can through storytelling, journaling, you know, any types of healing modalities, soul retrieval so you can remember, you know, anything. You can go do a past life regression. You can do Reiki. I don't care what you do. But the thing is to get started. And sometimes the reason we don't start is because we don't see and we don't understand that that behavior is out of order. We're so used to being in it that we don't realize it. You know, it's kind of like the eagle that fell from the sky when it wounded its wing and landed in the chicken coop and stayed there for a long time. It thought it was a chicken. It just lived like a chicken. It clucked like a chicken. It scratched like a chicken. And, you know, one day his wing, you know, healed. He flapped a little bit. He goes, I'm a little bit different than these chickens. And then one day another eagle came by and goes, hey, dude, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm scratching and eating worms. Dude, you're an eagle. I'm an eagle. What do you mean? I've been here. He's been there so long. He's been there so long that he didn't even realize. And he forgot who he was. that the inspiration was sucked out of him by the people he was around. And these people happened to be chickens. And then a day, his friend says, flap your wings, dude. And then, you know, he starts to rise and go higher, little by little higher. Got a little bit nervous because he forgot to fly. He doesn't remember how to fly. He, little by little, he just got started soaring higher, and the chickens are looking up at him going, oh, that's a fancy chicken. And then one day he just kept flapping. He kept going higher and higher. And then you know what? He left them. He left them behind. He left all those chickens behind. Those chickens served a purpose for that moment, because even the chicken served a purpose. It served for him to realize and have a foundation to go, I'm not a chicken. It took somebody else, looks like me, kind of like me, to tell me I'm not a chicken. And I had to believe them, and I had to listen to them. So how many of you are chickens living, you know, amongst eagles, or eagles living amongst chickens? Ask yourself that question. Sometimes you look at yourself and you're going, wow, I'm different than my family members. Why is everybody? I know you've done this. I'm the black sheep in my family. I'm the black sheep. Yes, everybody hates me in my family. Nobody understands me. But you know what? Yet, that's your label. You label yourself that. So, okay, you're the black sheep. Big deal. Ha ha. You want to stay the black sheep? You're still a sheep. You're just black sheep. You know? So at one point, do you leave the pack? You know, okay, so you're a black sheep. Okay, great. Do you think the sheep care? They don't care. They don't care if you're black. They don't care if you're a black sheep. You think they do. And you think that you're special because you're a black sheep. You think that you're something unique, something magnificent. But you know what? Out of every group of 1,000, there's a black sheep in every one of them. So there's 1,000 black sheeps all together, come together. And you know what? They all form a drum circle. And they all go to metaphysical conference. They all go and buy stones together. They all burn sage. They do sweat lodge together. That's my point. My point is, even though you call yourself the black sheep, you're really not black sheep. You just don't fit in that parameter. Big deal. Boo. Good. Move on. Get out. Light your fire. Move on. Keep going. Those people are going to be stuck there. You can't change them. They won't change. They don't want to change. They care less if you change. And if you change, there's something weird about you. Okay? You just happen to have an inspiring self. You have a drive, a calling that's unique to you, that doesn't resonate with their uniqueness. They're even in their blonde day, they are unique even in their blonde dumb day. Okay, so they are also that way. You know, sheep stick together because they're just more of them, and you can't, the more there are, then the less people, you don't miss people as much. Black sheep feel oddball because they feel like they're alone, because they feel like they're out in the world by themselves, but they're not. You get enough black sheep together, then you're a rainbow sheep, because you don't fit in the black sheep group now. Come on, you know? That's what happens. We label ourselves, okay? We all put ourselves in these categories and these labels about who we are and what we think we are and how we think we should be different. And we're unique because we're this way. Oh, yeah, man. You know? Okay, great. But when do you make the difference in your life in order to make difference in other people's lives? That's the key. How do you inspire the world? Well, you can't really inspire the world unless if you're not going to inspire yourself. You're not going to find ways to inspire you, who you are and what you feel you think you bring to the table, to this world. I know there's a lot of you on this podcast listening and watching on this live stream who look up to the stars and go, oh, man, I wish I was the aliens come and get me and take me away. You know, some of you are going, you know, I was here for a purpose on this planet and this earth. And you know what? I'm going to say, yeah, you are. And what you waiting for? You know, are you waiting for an invitation? Because there's an invitation every day. There's an invitation to self-inspire and to self-create and self-motivate. Yeah, it can be difficult. Yeah, you can be depressed. Yeah, you can be upset. Yeah, you can be pissed off. Yeah, you can be happy. Yeah, you can have every excuse in the world. Yeah, you can be positive. But when do you want to create self-inspiration? When do you want to grow? When are you ready to grow from the place that you are? When are you ready to invite those enlightened moments right now in your life to come into you and change you? You know, I'm just as guilty as all of you. Sometimes I don't want to change. Sometimes I just want to be where I'm at, and I'm happy with it for the moment. And sometimes I'm just like, I want the hell out of here. But you know what? It's a process. And that's when you have to understand it's a process, step by step. It's like becoming an adult. As a child, you're like, I want to grow up. I don't want to be a kid no more. Some of us have those moments. I know I did. The adults seem to have it better. Now I'm an adult. I mean, I wish I was a kid sometimes. I don't have to worry about too much. But everything has its process. Everything has its day. Everything has its moment. And as you're growing, as you're inspiring, as you're developing as a human being, as you're developing as, you know, a light worker, as you're developing as part of the ant colony here on planet Earth, because we're all on this together. I mean, we have to create those inspirational moments inside of us. You know, peace begins with me. You know, when I heard that for the first time, I didn't quite understand what they meant. Peace begins with me. You know, and that rattled in my head for a long time. Peace begins with me. I knew what they were saying, but it was hard for me to take on that responsibility, to take on that mantra that peace begins with me. That peace starts here and outwardly. And when I have peace in me, myself, aspects of peace, pieces and parts of peace of me, you know, where I'm in good place, then I share that to the world. That goes outwardly. That goes out there. So inspiration, you know. And I'm going to read this one because this is from my good friend John McMullen. He says, inspiration is our intuitive connection between our divine and our humanity. You know, some of you guys talked about that earlier, about God, you know, about, you know, this and that. And I believe that. I believe that. I believe when we ask the universe to guide us, when I believe that we ask the universe to help us be our own guru, to be the work ourselves, to be the magic, that we don't have to necessarily look for it in other people. Other people inspire us to be inspired. That's how we become inspired, because we find those aspects in them that we wish we would have, or maybe we do have more than they do. You know, and that's the thing. Divinity is all around us. You know, God's all everywhere, if you believe in God. Okay, so you're an atheist, you don't believe in God. That's fine. That means you have a bigger belief than mine to not believe in anything, the way I look at it, because that's how my mind works. That's how to think that they just die and rot and that's it. That has purpose too. That's a big accomplishment, to just die and rot, if that's all you think you're going to do. But you just don't die and rot. See, that's the point. You recycled back into the matrix of life in one way or another. So through the creation, even if it was Mother Earth, if you didn't believe in God, then you have to believe in Mother Earth, because Mother Earth will recycle you. She will take you. She will dissect you. She will disseminate you. She will take the pieces and parts she needs. But she never wastes anything. So no matter what you are, how you think you are, or what you think you're going to be, Mother Earth will always use every molecule in your body and recycle you and put it back into her and put it back into a place that she needs. The waters that we drink are the same exact waters that have been here forever. The air that we breathe is the same air. You know, my friend Jan and I had this conversation, you know, that nothing really leaves this sphere. I'm sure there's probably gaps in places and things change, but everything's still here. So the energy you're here just transmutes. We're transmuting constantly. We transmute. We change. We have moments of inspiration. We have moments of frustration. And that's energy. We're always creating energy. And the words that we speak are powerful. You know, we believe ourselves before anybody. You know, what comes out of our mouth is more valuable or intrinsic to us than it is about anybody else. I don't care who you are. You're going to listen to you first. You're going to ask for advice, yeah. You're going to ask for people's advice and stuff. But you know what? You're always, 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 always going to finish that decision with your decision. You're going to go, You're going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. That's how it is. It just is. And it doesn't make it wrong or right. It just is. So, you know, if we have any questions online, I'm more than welcome to help answer them. And I'm trying to see here if some of your questions here. I'm going to see here. Rebecca says, I used to think that when I was at the end of my rope, I should tie a knot in it and hang on it. But sometimes when I get to the end of my rope, there's not enough rope left for the knot. Lo, I guess where I end up floating, looking down another rope to grab onto. Oh, that's good. But you're able to recognize that. You know, that's the magic. When you're able to recognize and when you're able to see that, that's important. And then Adriana says, planting seeds inspires growth. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with the statements that I'm reading. You know, most of the folks who are on this podcast, who listen to the show, you guys, a lot of you do the work that I do, are similar. We have similarities, and we do similar type work. But the point is, we're passing a message of spirit along. We're passing a message of the universe. We're passing a message of God. However you want to look at it, however you want to define that, however you want that to look, that's what we do. And we all come with our own spins. We come with our own little dance. We all come with our little drum. We come with our own little laying of the hands. And, you know, the thing is, there's plenty out there, plenty to share. There's plenty to learn. And you never, never stop learning. And you know what? We have an abundance of people who are looking for the work that we're here all the time. And I believe that. And I don't know, Jay, I don't know if you're online there and you can, I think there's a button you can push. Maybe you can come online. You can share some of your thoughts. I don't know, but I can't seem to get you on. But either way, we'll figure that out as we go. But here's my thing. Self-inspiration is probably one of the hardest things for people to do, because we have to find things either externally or internally to motivate us, to move us, and to get us there. But children are very, very, very powerful motivators, very powerful inspirers. They can self-inspire like crazy. Kids can just be in a heartbeat, in the best mood you could ever see. And they can also flip a switch and be just like all of us. But kids are just magic. You know, I watched the drum circle yesterday, how these little kids, you know, I've seen them grow in the process of the drum circles. And how we were drumming. And one of my friends, Putzi's daughter, you know, was right there. And he's like, yeah, I'm drumming. And, you know, he stepped away for like 2 seconds and she took over the big drum. And she was playing the big drum like she had done it 1,000 times. And, you know, and I watched the faces of the adults, you know, and I watched how they, some of them had these look like, ooh, is she still allowed to play the drum? Ooh, is she, you know, wow, that's cool. Oh, my God, she's amazing. She's magical. You know, you're all magic. You know, she played it. It was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful things I saw in a long time. And to watch this little child just take on the heartbeat and just play that drum, that big bass drum. The drum's bigger than her. And she was on beat, though. I mean, she's like, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, and I'm watching her going, you know, it's, she knows. And these kids today just know. You know, they're just so connected. And I'm not saying that we weren't connected as children, but I don't think sometimes we were not given the opportunity to shine like kids are in our community shine. Because the kids in our community, and I'm talking about the holistic community here and the metaphysical community, I'm going to reach out a little bit. They're able to shine in their own uniqueness. They're able to shine in ways that are special to them. Because normally we put a lot of trust in them and we know that they're going to be okay. I'm going to use my friend Putzi again for an example. And I just want you to bear with me, and I want you to think about what I'm going to say, because some of us live in that old paradigm, and some of us are like the old Earth Mother, very protective. And he was more like Sky Father, a little bit more free, like the wind. And I watched the interaction. His girls came with him, and they ran off to the pond. And he's like, "Oh, okay. If anybody hears someone splashing in the water and calling for help, just let me know. It's probably one of my kids." And you know, for some people, that was difficult to hear. It kind of, I don't know. Some people were mortified. Some people laughed. I laughed, you know, because that's probably the same thing I did with my kids. If I remember, my kids are all adults. But it was just funny to watch the faces and the interaction, you know, and him building that self reliance and that self-inspiration. And, you know, hopefully they learn from whatever he taught them, you know, to not necessarily think that the water's dangerous, but to respect the water, to respect, you know, how far you walk away from dad, to respect that you don't walk off with a stranger. You know, I know we live in a crazy world, but this world's always been crazy, okay? It just seems crazier because we're in it. There's more of us in it. But I watched that interaction, and I watched how people responded. I watched how people, I don't want to say placed judgment on purpose. It was just judgmental because they just thought, I would never do that with my kid, kind of attitude, kind of feel. And that was okay. That's fine because that's your choice. That's how you raise your kids, and that's how you did it, and that's how they turned out however you want them to turn out. But it's just funny how our experiences of things, and that's all it really was. It was experiences and memories and teaching and passing of knowledge that we applied upon Putzi's, you know, rearing of his kids at that particular moment, just in that moment. And I'm sure he was probably half joking to begin with, but it still was amazing how we weaved, the community became concerned and became connected and became more attentive, you know, to watch his child and to keep an eye on him, and just, and how we all just came together. And see, that's the thing people don't realize. Indirectly, we all helped each other. We all became a community, and we worked together to drum. We worked together to keep an eye on not just his kids, but other people's kids, inviting kids to the circle and drum in the circle. You know, never did we ever say, no, you can't dance. No, you can't play the drum. You know, if they were out of hand, we would correct them in an appropriate way. But it was beautiful because I thought that was magical. And I thought it was something that was really powerful. And it's something that, you know, it's just, it was needed to be done. And sometimes, you know, we get into these places and we get into these moments of learning how other people live and how other people move and how other people dance, how other people have their rhythms and how other people move through that and through life. These circles that we create, these drum circles, you know, when we're in there, we're creating community. We're creating like-minded ideas. We're coming in to learn new ideas. We're coming to learn how to embrace one another and bring all these ideas together. And, you know, it was an amazing thing. And I thought it was just in how we all came. And there's people who had never been to a drum circle, but I've known on Facebook, and then they introduced themselves. So it's been 2 years I've been wanting to get here. You know, I'm glad I got here today. And today was the day. But we create community. You know, we create inspiration. We create self-inspiration. We create something that, you know, you're not able to do in your regular life. But when we create this environment where people can actually foster, harness, you know, deep down emotional stuff and bring it to the surface, release it, embrace it, love it, dance with it, drum with it, that's magic. That's some serious magic. And, you know, that's what I enjoy. And I know not everybody dances, and I know not everybody drums, and not everybody's going to play it hard, the drums, and not everybody's going to play it soft. But we all come with our own personalities. We all come together, you know. And I'm just going to reach out there. We're all the black sheep, right? All there together. But I don't like to play with labels, because then even the black sheep's label, you know. What, after you're black, what color do you become? A white sheep? Because you don't fit in that circle? Get out. But, you know, it's just funny. I just crack up. You know, I'm just human. I'm a human being. I'm having this human being experience. My spirit is rolling through here and dancing through here. God is, I'm a piece of God. I'm a splinter of God floating through the universe, just like all of you are. You know, but not everybody believes that. I know that because I've talked to people. I talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people don't believe that they don't even want to go there. They don't even want to think that they're even a piece of God, but they are. If you're a child of God, that means you're a piece of God. That means you're part of God. You're part of the creation. You're part of the universe. And I have a big, for those of you who are on the radio, and I have a huge smile on my face, and my dimples are showing, and my cheeks are red. Because I find it funny, because, you know, and those of you who are connected and, you know, believe in the Christmeister, you know, he's your brother. You know, he's your bro. You know, so we're all brothers and sisters in this thing. So we're all part of this magic universal dance. So you are God. You have a piece of God. If you don't want to, if you don't think you're God, that's fine. That's okay. But God lives through you. He experienced life through you, or she. But you know, it is. It's a manifestation outwardly through us, in us. It's magic's amazing. When we allowed our hearts to open, our third eye to open, our throat chakra to open, you know, our heart chakras to open, our solar plexus to open, you know, and then our root chakras to open. When all that's open and flowing in a good harmonic place, we see things differently. We see life completely different. We embrace life in a way that's, you know, much different than we do. Each day, and this is a process for me as well, each day closer to whatever I think closer is. I don't know what it looks like, but it feels good in that moment. You know, my friend Jan, she asked the question, you know, are you the keeper of the light? Yesterday after we were finished with the drumming. That was one of her questions to the people on the table. We were there. And I found it really interesting. Everybody has their own version and experience of what that means and how they look at it. So, I mean, I could ask the same question. Are you the keeper of the darkness? Your mind starts to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Do you dance with the dark? Oh, no. You know, you have to remember how when someone asks you a question, there's really no wrong or right answer. It's just the answer that you have created. All the compilation of stuff that you put together in your life's experiences, what that means and what that looks like. People think that being in the shadows is a bad thing. There's times that you need to be in the shadow. The trees cast shadows, right? Because it's a hot summer day. And that's a legitimate answer to what I'm saying. Being in the shadow works is not a bad thing. Being in the light's not a bad thing. You know, you can get too close to the sun and get burned. You know, too much sun exposure as well. So can you have too much enlightenment? Can you have too much shadow side? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer. But I'll tell you one thing. Being in the light moment for me is, that's the thing, enlightened moment. I have enlightened moments where I'm just doing some amazing, crazy stuff. And then there's some days that I just don't feel like doing anything. I feel like I just need to be down here and I need to hide in this little shadow spot for a little bit. I'm comfortable right here. I don't want to be bothered right now. Does that mean I'm not in the light? No, absolutely not. In order to cast a shadow, you have to have a light, right? Vice versa. When there's a light comes on, there's a shadow. The sun shines, there's shadow. The shadow sides. Don't think it's bad. Don't think that it's one of those things that's detrimental. Now, how do we inspire in the light? How do we tell the world that we're want to share with it? Well, to be honest with you, you just share. You just share. You just do it. You know, you don't know who's listening. You don't know who's watching. You don't know who is paying attention. And if you're doing it just to get all those things, those accolades and to be recognized, maybe you're doing it for the wrong thing. Maybe you should do it because you want to do it. Because when you do it, the right people show up, period. It doesn't matter. And even if you're doing it just to hear yourself, then it's because you're doing some self-development, doing some self-work. Maybe you're the one that needs to hear it. Maybe nobody else needs to hear what you need to hear, but you do. You know, together we are better. Maybe that's what you need to hear. Maybe that's what I need to hear. You know, sometimes we think that we don't touch people's lives, but we do. You know, I have some amazing friends. I have some amazing people who walk in and walk out of my life, just like you do. There have been some people who challenge me. There's people who challenge me right now. There are people who, you know, make me wonder if the work that I do, if I'm in the right frame of mind, because they're the way they challenge you and the way they bring out the shadow aspects of yourself, you know? But, you know, that's the thing. And sometimes I'm more grateful for the person who helps me bring out the shadow aspects of me, because then it makes me wonder, you know, it makes me self-analyze and self, you know, recognize. that I have some things that I need to work on. And, you know, I understand, because I do this work, that it's a constant development. And I get that. There is no getting there. You're there when you're there. When you're there. That's it. So when you're there, you have to make a decision. How are you going to react or respond? Are you going to create an inspirational moment for yourself? Are you going to create an inspirational moment for others around you? Are you going to help create? Because even when you destroy and when you bring something down and you take it apart, you're helping create something new after that. Because even you disconstruct, take a piece of this out of there and just leave it down there, you're still creating. That's a creation. Maybe it's not a positive creation in the sense, but it's creation. So someone else can come back and put the pieces together. And sometimes the pieces just stay there and then it's just absorbed and reclaimed. That's why the Earth Day for me is a very powerful day. Earth Day is one of those things where it's just a remembering. And I mentioned to everybody that Earth Day is every day for me. Earth Day is every day. Because this is the only home I know. This is the only place I'm aware of that I've been on consciously. Subconsciously, I have other thoughts, of course, about things. But, you know, we have to find ways to inspire ourselves so we can actually take care of what is in front of us. Mother Earth will reclaim everything. Mother Earth will do whatever she does in order to, you know, keep herself stable and healthy. We're nothing but mere fleas upon Mother Earth. And, you know, when she shakes, she's like, see you later. We're gone. We become a new existence. We become a new idea. We become a new, you know, foundation for something else, because from our bones, other things grow. You know, just like the dinosaurs, you know, from their foundation, from their existence, we pump the blood out of the Mother Earth to fuel cars, to fuel planes, to fuel a lot of stuff. So don't think that because we're smart, that we got it all figured out. So how do we inspire? How are we going to inspire this humanity, you as a person individually, to make this a better place? Because this place is important to all of us, not just you, not just me, to everybody. You know, everything that we have here is on loan to us from the next generation. The next generation has loaned this to us, has given us the responsibility to take care of this, so they have something. If we vandalize it and rape it and pillage it, what are we going to leave our children? What are we going to leave the people who come after us? What are they going to have? Is it right of us to do what we do? Just all in the name of making a greenbacks? And just to make people super, super ultra rich? But that's what happens. That's what happens. That's what we agree to. Energetically, somehow we agree to that. That was okay, that someone can pump oil out of the ground, that's what we're going to use, and that's the way we're going to drive. There's enough hydrogen in water, in one cube of water, to power cities, but we don't do it. You know, this planet could be an amazing place if we just would use our super intelligence and intellect to do the right things and to inspire, to self-inspire, not to make money, and not always just make money. We could live and just have. But, you know, we're afraid to do that for some reason. We're afraid to do that and to instill that belief in humanity. Time is irrelevant. Time is an illusion, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. So this moment is over. Whatever, when an hour, 45 minutes ago is done. It's no longer. It's in our memory. It doesn't exist anymore as we move and progress into time. So what are we going to do when we get to these places where we have an opportunity to change things? Are we going to sit there and not change it? Are we just going to sit there and create or not create? Because no matter what you do, you're going to help the process. So the self-inspiration inside of us is a valuable thing. Something that's super, super valuable. Together we have to do this. We can't do this alone. You know, and I'm not talking about breaking the system down. I'll say changing it. The systems inside of our head. The beliefs that we carry there. You know, are they valuable? Do they serve humanity? Do they serve me? Do they serve us? Do I just do it out of habit? Is it something that's just because everybody else does it, I'm going to do it? A lot of us live like that. A lot of us do that. A lot of us, that's where we're at. You know, we do that because the last generation did it. And 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 because I can turn on my TV and I can ride the bus, I can get in my car, I can fly 300 miles per hour on a plane, you know, and be in another point A to point B in less time than driving. I get that it's all valuable, but I'm telling you, man needs to be more inspired to do things for themselves, for humanity, for life. We have the capacity to make this an amazing world. We have the capacity to do things that have never been seen before. Things that we are not wanting to see yet. We can scrap all this if we truly wanted to. That affects somebody's little pocketbook. And that's why we don't see a lot of change. That's why we don't see a lot of things happening, because, you know, we're comfortable. Okay, if we're comfortable, then, you know, that makes it difficult. That's the challenge for self-inspiration. How do we move forward? You know, we have to challenge ourselves. And I know it's a difficult thing. And I know it's something that, you know, that doesn't come easy for all of us. And for some of us, it comes easy for it probably took some work. But think of all the things that we can create together. Think of all the things if we were all inspiring self, what we could do with this world, what we could change, what we could, you know, resolve. You know, there are people who, you know, want to work hard to feed the world. There are other people who want to bring clean water to the world, and they do that. But we could do so much more if we had the inspiration inside of us to see one another as actual people, as life, as brother and sister, as who we are, versus to see one of each other as enemy, to see each other as, you know, taking from another, or trying to manipulate land, or try to take this from that one another. And, you know, that's where we're at. So individually, we have to find our little pockets, these little pockets of, you know, these little refugee camps of our lives, to work together to make it a better place. Does the drum circle solve the answers of the world? It could. Could we solve problems there in the drum circle? Because we're all playing different rhythms. We're all playing different drums. We're all bringing different, you know, rhythms to the circle. But yet we're a circle. Yet we have an opportunity to share. We have an opportunity to talk. We have an opportunity to play back and forth to one another and share whatever's in our heart. The drum circle, the gatherings, whatever you do, wherever you go, the churches you hang out in, the clubs you talk in, everybody has a moment to inspire another human being. That's self-inspiration. People see it. When you're self-inspired, people see it in you. People notice it. People know when you're trying to make a difference in your life. People know when you're trying to move forward and when you're trying to get to a place you need to be. They do. They see it. It exists. It's there. There's beauty there. The beauty's within us. And it's just waiting to come out. It's waiting to be invited into that space. It's waiting to say, hey, I want to share with the world. Inspiration's a powerful word. Love's a powerful word. Hate's a powerful word. Joy's a powerful word. They're all, every word's powerful. But self-inspiration, you'll find the things that will move you. You'll find the things that will motivate you, inspire you to share with the world. I can't tell you what that's going to be and what that's going to look like. But those of you who share with me your dreams, your goals, your desires, I listen. And, you know, sometimes I don't understand, but I see it in your eye. I see it in your heart. I see it in your spirit, in your soul, that it means something to you. And just by that sheer fact that it means something to you, and then it means something so strongly and so valuably, that sometimes people just jump on and move with you and flow with you And then they create their inspiration within the inspiration that you've created. You know? And then the next thing you know, you're doing all this amazing work together. You're doing all this amazing stuff together. And all of a sudden, you know, you're doing stuff that, you know, you just never thought you could. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't always this way. I wasn't always this way where I wanted to inspire people. I was just like everybody in the 3D world who just kind of had a job or owned a business. And I forget who I was talking to the other day about this, how I just thought money was an important thing, that I just worked hard and that was it. You know, I have a friend used to work for me, actually two friends. And this is ego. And I share this with you because it's important to know where you come from and where you're moving and where you're growing. And they talked about how they wanted to open their own restaurant. And I laughed at them. And I don't know why I laughed at them at that moment. And the only thing I can imagine is there was a part of me that was really damn scared that, you know, I was going to lose two good employees. Or maybe there was this part of me that didn't want a competition. There was a part of me just, it was jealous. But it wasn't right of me. It wasn't right. It was not correct to put somebody else's dream down and put somebody else's desires and, you know, and tell them that they couldn't do it. You know, you don't know how much influence you have on somebody, especially at certain ages and in certain moments in their lives. You know, now today, if someone has a dream, I encourage it. I don't care how big, how small, it doesn't matter. But there was a time when that I was just not always, you know, on that boat, you know. And I share that with you because I think that's important for you to know that we're all growing. And we're all going through that mission. But, you know, my friend today, she has her own little portable restaurant. You know, she pulls it around with her husband. She sells her tacos out of it. And you know what? And for me, I'm just tickled to death and happy that they're doing it. And it's impressive, and I find that, like, magic. You know, that her dream was big enough to overcome what other people thought. Even me, you know, as a friend who wasn't a very nice friend back then to say that. And I apologize for that, that I actually said that to somebody, that I actually felt the urge that I had to be like that. But I'm glad that I can come here and say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. That was not cool of me to do that and to say that. Because now they're doing well and they're enjoying their life the way they want to enjoy it. And I'm happy for them. And I like to watch and see their success and their story grow. And that their self-inspiration has manifested itself. And it's going to grow even better and bigger when they're ready to do it. So I implore them to keep plugging away and keep doing the hard work, because it is hard work to run a food truck. But do it, because you know what? It's your dream. And your dreams are powerful. Your dreams are important. And if you don't love your dreams, you don't foster your self-inspiration, nobody else will. I tell you that right now. So, my friends, I'm glad that you tuned in today and you were hanging out with me. Hopefully I gave you some things to think about. I'm not really here to tell you what to do, because you'll figure that out. But I know that deep down in our souls and inside of our hearts, we all just want to do better. We all want to do the best we can with the limited time that we do have. And I love you all. Take care very much of each other. Love one another. Be well. And I'll see you guys soon. We'll be on episode 43 here in a couple weeks. And take care. And I will see everybody Sunday for the gathering of sounds, our little sound bath that we're going to do. So hopefully you can make it to Whetstone Park down there by the casting pond where we were the other day with the drumming. So take care, my friends. Peace and love. Be well. Always do better. Do your best. Ho'oponopono. Much love. Take care. Inspire yourself. Inspire others just to do better. Encourage people to do better. Encourage people to dream. You don't stop dreaming. All right. Take care, my friends. Yidisikui.